All right. Last session of the day. Woo-wee. Tico, our presenter today, has promised that he's going to keep it riveting, keep everybody on the edge of your seats, even though you paid for the full seat. My name is Steve Schoens, Diocese of Fargo. I'm moderating today. Tico Etuarte?
Etuarte, yes.
Is our presenter today.
Thank you.
And think outside the giving envelope. So if you're in the wrong session, please stay because this will be a good one. I'm going to let Tico give his own bio. And why don't we start today with the session with the campaign prayer. So we'll go to that under documents in the HUVA. And if you would please join in with me. In the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Loving and gracious God, we ask you to open our hearts to your Son's life and ministry. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for joining us today. I'm going to hand it off to Tico, and he's going to have a wonderful presentation today. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Steve, and thank you, everyone, for signing up and for showing up. I know it's probably been a long day for everyone else. We just, you know, took everything apart down at the expo, and we're now here ready to give you this really good talk. So before anything else, can I get an amen, please? Amen, yeah. If I didn't ask that question today, I don't know when, probably next year. Okay, so my name is Tico. I'm originally from Mexico. I grew up, I was raised in the border between Mexico and Texas in Chihuahua. I know that I have other Chihuahua natives around the house. And right now I live in Bogota, Colombia. I've been with DonorBox for a while now, and I've been involved in fundraising in many different capacities, from startup founder and, you know, the humble beginnings that we all have, raising money for our beloved causes. And I found my greatest niche within DonorBox, and I hope that you can also find some alignment with that. So before we get started with the session, we come bearing gifts. And I'm going to ask a question. Priests do not apply. You'll see why. But we're going to give away a really cool Bluetooth speaker to whomever answers this question. So can you recite, show of hands, Matthew 7:7? Nobody? Priests? Yeah. Ask. Ask and it will be given. Exactly. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, it will be opened. I'm going to keep the speaker for another question, maybe an easier one. No, just kidding. So, yeah, we're going to give them away. Why did I select this this passage? Because it has to do a lot with stewardship from what I've learned in different causes, all the way from being involved in church groups, all the way to Rotary clubs. Stewardship, when you translate it into Spanish, it goes into something like a shared responsibility, co-responsibility. So by seeking, by asking, by knocking, we exercise that. It's not just about extending our hand and say, gimme, 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 right? Because nobody's going to, you know, come up to that calling. So thinking outside the giving envelope begins here. Now, I'm not going to have you do something really hard because I want you to close your eyes for 1 second. Picture yourself in your church, in your parish, and picture this. Every seat is filled, and cheerful givers are smiling at each other as they place their giving envelopes in the offering plate, okay? Now, for your parish, maybe the expenses are low, and passing the collection plate on Sundays is all that you might need to cover those costs. That's a lovely picture, right? But that's not reality. right? Not for most of us. So, what's it like for you every week? Would anyone like to tell me what that looks like? How is it for you every week? Do you actually get all of those expenses covered by just passing around the collections plate and getting the envelopes or not? Okay. Somebody back there? Okay. Correct. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Correct. Now, what goes after this question is that we need to understand that ministry depends on faithful giving. And faithful giving is not just money, it's time, it's a lot of things. But this remains one of the biggest challenges for churches today. Now, reinvigorating ministries and helping them to thrive financially might mean it's time to think outside of the giving envelope, go a little bit beyond. So, again, my name is Tico. I want to welcome you to this talk. I'm not a certified fundraising executive, but I deal with them all the time in DonorBox. And I see the very different challenges that entail this very noble labor that you might delve into. So my job at DonorBox is to teach fundraising fundamentals and help our clients, organizations like you, churches, and one-to-one to apply these fundamentals to raise more money and make their missions move. Now, successful nonprofits are doing some really great things right now, and they are applying some fundraising principles that you can easily adapt and adopt to your church, okay? Now, this is a little bit of our impact. I'm sorry for showcasing, not showboating, but just to let you know exactly what we've been doing. So as you can see, the figures on the screen, if you're not familiar with DonorBox yet, hopefully you will by the end of this talk. And it's not a generic fundraising platform. DonorBox is a comprehensive suite of tools, services, and resources that will empower you as fundraisers with a custom solution to acquire, retain, and engage those donors while raising funds online and on location. So far, we're very proud to have helped over 80,000 organizations across the globe, helping them raise over $2 billion in donations. And if you want to learn more, there's going to be a QR code at the end of the presentation that you can just scan, sign up for free, and maybe start using DonorBox, okay? So for today, this is what we have in store. We're going to start by looking at what church giving is at 2024. Then we're also going to analyze a real-life case study of a church who was wrestling with giving, especially after resuming in-person church services after the pandemic. And I'm going to share a bit about how we applied some key fundraising and communication principles and how they're now engaging more givers in God's work through the church. We will wrap up our time together by talking about how to make giving easy. So if you have any questions, just write them down, keep them in mind, and we'll go through those once the session's done. So church giving in 2024 looks similar to, in many ways, what charitable giving overall looks like. So what are we seeing right now? What are the trends? Giving levels are either down or flat. Organizations and churches are experiencing higher operating costs. Church staff have limited time and resources, and they are very, you know, thinly spread across the board. Daily administrative tasks and fundraising tasks are often manual if you're not already using some type of software. And it's often really difficult to encourage people to become sustaining, regular givers. Are anyone here seeing those trends in your churches? Okay, absolutely. So if you are, you're not alone. So do not fret. This is just a trend. It'll get better. But year-over-year statistics from the Indiana University Lilly School of Philanthropy say that the number of household giving to churches and religious organizations has steadily declined for over the past 20 years. This is not news to you, I guess. So I don't really want to share these things to discourage you, quite the opposite. Instead, I want you to capture, your attention and to use these data points to make some changes and take a look at things through the eyes of the givers. Who are the people sitting in your pews? And how do they see you putting their hard-earned dollars to work within the parish? What are some of the reasons people give? So I have a question for you. What are those reasons? What compels them to give, any one of you? To make them feel good. Absolutely. Right? Self-realization through giving. Of course. Some others will be very much aligned with the biblical responsibility entailed with giving. Right? Some others, they will do it because of family heritage or it's part of their upbringing. Just idiosyncratic giving. Right? Others, they want to help others or they want to make the world a better place. They have high objectives. It makes them feel good. Some other people will do it just for tax deduction, which is completely fine. Right? It's a tool. Some others believe in the mission, and most of them need to trust in the staff and leadership, and they need to know that the money will be used well. Now, biblical giving. So fundraising powers God's kingdom work. Giving and generosity are acts that Christians are called to. But you know, and I know, that it's not always the case, and it's not always easy. And it's not always that inspiring for our congregations to give. So in his book, Not Your Parents' Offering Plate, J. Cliff Christopher presents research that shows that church giving is improved when congregants, one, trust and have regard for the staff and their leadership, okay? They want to know that their churches are worthy of trust. They believe in the mission. They have buy-in. So people want to be a part of something that changes and impacts lives. In fact, believe in the mission is the biggest motivator of gifts within churches and all nonprofits across the board. And lastly, fiscal responsibility. Givers want to know that the money they entrust to the church will be stewarded well. They want to know what the church will do with their gifts, and they want to see results. So if this is ringing any bells already, maybe there's a gap in how you operate with what you get and how accountable those gifts become, right, down the line. Now, this brings me to this excellent case study. So Grace Church in Noblesville, Indiana, they had a large congregation, around 8,000 people. But late 2021, the church had recently gone through many trials. They were coming out of the pandemic. The church had to restructure staff and ministries. And the church was tired. Leaders were tired. And over that time, also the flock was tired and giving declined. The church said that the givers felt that there was always a great need, that they felt they were always going to the congregation with bad news, right? The gimme, gimme, gimme. And they felt like they were on a sinking ship, nowhere to resort to, nothing to resort to. So they knew that they were at a point where they felt that they had to do something to change. So Grace Church invited us to join them in a conversation, and we reviewed first what they had done in the past to respond to those who had given to Grace, if anything, to study current strategies that they were applying, best practices that they were applying at the time as well, and begin devising a strategy moving forward. During our time together, over a few meetings, we took a deep dive into their practices around giving. We walked them through the giving experience. What was it like to sit in the service during the offering moment? What was the online giving experience like? They found out that they were making it difficult for the giver in both situations. And I want to ask you here, think about it. How frictionless or how friendly is your giving process? Grace Church realized that their approach to inviting their congregation to come along with them and financially support their kingdom work was quite passive and not at all inspiring. Their focus was highly on the transaction of the gift and not necessarily the relationship with the giver. They were transactional rather than relational. They were giving on the how to give envelope, online, or text. But they were not always teaching the importance of why we, as Christ followers, pass an offering plate, not were they explaining how God's kingdom work happens through the practice of giving and how giving transforms the giver. They were being transactional, not relational. Transactional, not relational. Let me stress that. So this right here, and don't worry about it, I'll email this to you if you want to, are the 5 A's of awesome fundraising. So When church attendance was high and when the expenses were low enough, passing the plate on Sunday was all they needed. But attendance dropped for Grace Church, and we know that it has dropped dramatically across many churches for the last 50 years. However, the fundraising tactics within the church are often unchanged and remain that way. Churches often continue to operate under the assumption that people understand the culture of giving to the church or inherently know that they need to give. And some churches rarely ask for gifts and struggle to see fundraising success. We also found that other organizations in the community outside of the church were vying for attention from Grace's church's members. And they were, quite frankly, showing them more love and care than the church itself. And just to keep it in mind, there are over 2 million registered nonprofits in the United States, and you're all fighting for the same dollar, for the same wallet share. So you need to do something different. So if churches can't get their fundraising right, the benefits, both financial and spiritual, would be substantial. Now, churches can use many of the same donor building and communication techniques used by top nonprofits. Grace Church wanted to treat giving as a ministry. They use some of the fundamentals and communication techniques used by successful nonprofits. And these are the key, the five keys to fundraising. We worked through these easy-to-remember donor-centered communication cadence that improves fundraising for many organizations. The keys are a fun way to remember the cycle of fundraising. The first is to attract new supporters to your organization. Then you need to ask them to come alongside you by giving. Then promptly acknowledge. Then account for the donations, and then rinse and repeat. Do it over and over and over again. These are not fancy, not new. These are just what successful nonprofits actively work on to bring donors into the life of the organization and cultivate a sense of belonging. This is what churches do so well. They invite others and create that sense of belonging. And it's okay to do it when it comes to giving as well. Now, Grace Church focused on making some small adjustments to demonstrate spiritual care around giving and help the congregation feel that they were more valued and connected. First, they focused on activities that had a big impact but were easy to implement. They dedicated staff time and some resources as well to specifically improving fundraising and stewardship. We'll walk through some more examples of what they did. Let's look at this model again. It's important. I'd like to share with you how Grace Church applied this through the refreshed stewardship strategy. As we review each one, think of something specific you can do right away in each of these areas that would ultimately build relationships and improve your fundraising. So, to begin with, attract. Attracting supporters is difficult for churches and nonprofits alike. Again, keep that in mind, over 2 million nonprofits across the country. Grace Church realized that they had many weekend attenders who were new to the church and did not have a clear understanding of why they should support the church. Throughout Scripture, there is so much written, so much wisdom and warning about giving and money and stewardship. Talking about money is both a financial and spiritual issue. The church realized it was missing the mark when talking about the spirituality of giving. So they did a better job of articulating the church's beliefs and views on giving. They demonstrated how God's kingdom work happens through the practice of giving and how giving transforms the giver. What specifically did Grace Church do? Well, first, they focused on teaching biblical stewardship. There were intentional and planned communication about money throughout the year. And they said this to us, the church has a huge advantage of spending multiple Sundays talking about giving and God's heart for giving. And they have a captive audience. So they work with that. Second, they use phrases like gratitude and generosity as a more relatable way to explain biblical giving for those who are new to the concept or who do not understand the culture of tithes and offerings. Then Grace Church focused on making it attractive to give. They made some easy website updates to reduce the number of clicks it takes to make a gift online. Then they focused on building relationships with the donors through calls and meetings. They are building relationships and ministering to large capacity givers. And lastly, they worked to build relationships with local businesses throughout volunteer opportunities serving in the food pantry. This introduced some new community members to the church and brought some corporate financial support to the food pantry program. What are some things that you can do to make giving more attractive within your church. The second part is asking. People often think that fundraising is isolated to this or asking for money alone. That's not the case. It can seem that it takes a huge percentage or portion of our time and energy and effort in overall fundraising time. The ask gets exponentially easier when churches do a good job communicating overall. I know the ask is often the most difficult for anyone. We're ashamed to ask sometimes, right? And many are uncomfortable with asking for money. They correlate asking for money with begging. And it's just difficult for most people. Now, Henry Nguyen says in Spirituality of Fundraising that fundraising is proclaiming what we believe in such a way that we offer other people an opportunity to participate with us in our vision and mission. Fundraising is precisely the opposite of begging. So I encourage fundraisers from many organizations about this every single day and every single week. Churches want and need to cultivate generosity, but often do not speak about it for fear of being that church that focuses on money, right? The ask is a compelling call for offering. It's an invitation to be part of God's kingdom, part of the best place for their money and their life to be. Asking someone to join you in something so important is an honor, not an intrusion. So how did Grace Church make the ask easier? First, they realized that there were three ways to give, that the three ways to give that they had before was uninspiring. It was the how to give and not the why to give. They now do a better job at explaining the dollars that are giving to the fund, to fund the ministries change lives. They offer financial planning ministry opportunities and shared about how estate gifts and bequests can impact the church in the long term. The church hosted a small special event with their largest givers. They invited them to an evening at a member's home and shared a long-term vision and asked them to partner with them to make this vision reality by investing their financial resources. They also wrapped up the year with a year-end mailing and email series asking each family member to make an additional year-end gift and use storytelling to show year-long impact. As a fundraiser, I will also say that you're not talking to your churchgoers about giving because somebody else is already. So who is talking to them about giving? You name it, Salvation Army, Red Cross, hospital, Girl Scouts. Who's your competition, right? You might not be talking to them about giving, but they are, and they might be very bold about it too. So you may have the biggest kingdom impact of them all, and you're worthy of support, but don't let yourself be intimidated about the ask. What can you do to make the ask easier? Acknowledge. So prompt personal acknowledgments and sincere gratitude go a long, long way. And many nonprofits are doing this very well. How well are you doing this within your parish? As part of the review, Grace Church realized they had not done a good job saying thank you, nor showing gratitude for the gifts so many had entrusted to them over the years. This is something nonprofits, charities often do better than churches. They show a lot of gratitude. Successful nonprofits send personal prompt acknowledgments regardless of the size of the gifts. The story of the poor widow tells us that even small gifts are often sacrificial. So a small act of generosity can grow far beyond what we ask for or imagine. Grace Church realized that if they wanted to inspire giving, they needed to develop stewardship strategy for the existing givers. They ran a large, a big list of all giving. They look at giving levels, large and small. They look at the longevity. Some members had been giving weekly for over 25 years. They looked at new givers. Then they split up the list among a few pastors. They sent smartphone videos to send thanks, to say thanks. They made phone calls and they left quite a few voicemails. They wrote notes. They sent letters. They worked through quite a backlog of acknowledgments. And then moving forward, they now send a note to all first-time givers. And they send notes, special notes, when they receive a large one-time contribution. They say thank you during church service, and they send a note of gratitude to givers who give year over year. They spend time personalizing the thank you message a giver received after making the gift online. If you are not doing it, start saying thank you to your givers immediately. Take the first opportunity to connect their gift to the mission. What are some easy ways to acknowledge your regular givers, your new givers, You're large amount givers. You're small but mighty givers. Think through some things, and you and your staff can do them right away. They don't need to be fancy. Now, do you know what the number one reason donors report they stop giving to charities and church is? Any ideas? Kind of, yes. They believe that the gift won't really help. There's no accountability. And this is where the next key comes into play. So you must account for the hard-earned money that your supporters give to your church. If you want to confidently answer the question, can I trust you with my money? You want to say yes. Grace Church now shows accountability by first telling stories of impact. So every single week, without a fault, Grace Church focuses on one ministry moment during the offering time. They tell a story of life change each week, and that results in sharing 52 stories a year. It's easy. They focus less on how to make the transaction and more on what is the result of that given transaction, of that gift. So Grace Church said this to us. This is the story of our people. These ministry spotlight moments are ways to connect dots between giving to the church and the life change that happens within the walls of the church. They also said, it's a part of our culture now. We don't have to collect the ministry spotlights among staff. They're looking for them, and they are eager to share them. And I love this. We've created an expectation of regularly accounting for God in our midst. There are many ways to build trust and credibility within your church. You can, and just to share a few, share testimonials just like Great Church did, or like they do, send annual reports to the members, use data to illustrate the impact and reach in communication pieces, display trust marks from Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, ECFA, GuideStar, or Charity Navigator, etc. on your website. These organizations have very rigid standards. You can also talk about the fact that you have a financial oversight committee or how your finances are being audited. You can share your ministry budget and financials with your membership regularly. Actually, J. Cliff Christopher has a really good example of how to do that in his book as well. So together, acknowledge and accountability make up stewardship. Good stewardship equals donor retention. So again, think about what are some easy ways to account for the financial gifts entrusted to you. And then you go ahead and repeat all of what we mentioned before, again and again and again. Grace Church has committed to keeping the conversation ongoing, to stay in fellowship with those who partner with them in fueling God's mission in their finances. Again, another quote by Nguyen, if we ask for money, it means we offer fellowship. And when people are financially invested, they often serve more and get more involved in your church or in the church community. What are some easy ways to continue the conversation and engage fellowship with your congregation again and again and again? It's what we call in business skin in the game, right? Grace Church invested in fundraising as a ministry. When we focus on the relationship with the giver more than the transaction of the gift, we are communicating that our churches are worthy of trust, that our churches have a mission that aligns with God's kingdom, what that's worth investing in, and that our churches are good stewards of what is given and show it through stories of life change and mission work. Now, helping you increase tithes and offerings. How do you continue to increase this generosity through the giving experience? Well, it's something that's essential in today's digital age, online giving. Yesterday, as I sat on Father Andres's Spanish address to the community and asked them this question, like, how do you, in the Diocese of San Jose, innovate or welcome digital innovation into your giving? And he was very, very enthusiastic about it. Like, yeah, of course. I text my flock whenever I have a last-minute change. I use digital platforms to fundraise. I help them help me and help the church. So this is something that's essential. In the coming years, you will continue to see shifts in generosity, giving, and church fundraising. A lot of our organizations, both religious and not, they tell us about the natural churn, which is when their donors start passing away or getting older. And how do you engage these new generations to come into giving and expect them to behave like their grandfathers did? It's not possible. So incorporating an online giving option into your church's fundraising can make a big difference in your congregation's ability to tithe and donate. It allows people to give at any time from anywhere, but especially during church service. And a good giving experience builds trust between your church and your givers. So, how many here use Amazon? Show of hands. Is it a good experience or a bad one? It's a good one. It's a fast one. It's reliable, right? They have a lot of uptime. Do your experience comply with those principles? Maybe, maybe so. So, churches with online giving options receive an average of 33% more in donations than those without. That's a significant increase that can make a huge impact on your church's fundraising efforts. By making it easy and convenient for your congregations to give online, on-site, or on the spot, you're opening up new opportunities for them to support your church's mission and programs more consistently and generously. Now, what are some of the key benefits, for example, of DonorBox? Speaking of online giving, let's dive a little bit deeper into why it's so important for churches. So donation pages are highly shareable, unlike other forms of donating. And we already know this. If you use social media at all, you know that it doesn't matter whether somebody shares your campaign on Facebook or Instagram, whatever, is going to get sunk by the algorithm. It's going to dilute. It's going to be lost. So, as we mentioned earlier, your congregation will appreciate the convenience of being able to give anywhere and anytime. But online giving provides valuable benefits beyond convenience and accessibility. With an online giving platform, you can track important data such as the donation size, timing, and giver information. This data helps you identify giving patterns, track progress, steward your givers, and optimize your strategies to maximize your church's fundraising efforts. So, a donation form. At DonorBox, we talk about donation forms a lot. It's what brought us to be 10 years ago. And this is a topic that's relevant to most organizations and churches for sure. But first, we throw around several of these terms a lot, like the donate button, donation pages, donation form. To help clarify, I like to use this analogy. Your donate button is like a doorbell to your home. Your donors click it, and much like a guest, when they ring a doorbell when coming to your home, now they enter the donation page, which is like the welcome mat. It provides a nice welcoming place for them to stand, and they can look around and get a feel for what you're all about. And then the donation form is like crossing the threshold into your home. That's where they make that donation, the transaction to put a foot into your organization. So just as you prepare your home for guests as a church, you want to keep these things on point too. You want to keep your button visible and available, your donation page and your donation form up to date and welcoming. Creating a welcoming environment for your givers means ensuring that your donation form is accessible to everyone, regardless of ability. This is important, as most churches also have members with a wide range of abilities as well as a large age range. It should be customizable to match the branding and look and feel of your church. It should be quick and easy to find and easy to navigate for your givers. And that is, should be easy to set up and manage recurring tithes and offerings. Your form should also be mobile friendly, because over 80% of people will use the web on their phones, not on their computers on a day-to-day basis. And we know that, again, the world is ever increasingly, you know, reliant on dependent or on our smartphones. And the last thing that you want to do is ensure that it's easy and sustainable for you and your staff to manage on the back end. Now, on a personal note, I cannot tell you how many organizations I speak to every month. And the story is, yeah, we paid $5,000 to some guy for our website, and then we never saw him again, and we do not know how to edit it. Does this ring a bell? And then when you want to incorporate something like this, it's like, so where do I get started? Is it easy for you or whomever comes after you to keep those efforts going? It's something to keep in mind. The other thing is offering multiple payment options means your congregation is met with a giving experience that is convenient and user-friendly. It's basically meeting them where they are. In today's tech-savvy world, people want a simple and straightforward way to donate online, and having multiple payment options is a great way to achieve this. Now, we all love to save time and simplify our life, right? We just mentioned Amazon. Those guys are masters of e-commerce. You come in, it recognizes you, they know your address, your preferred payment method. If you leave something in the cart, they'll remind you. Are you doing this as well? Or are you missing and dropping the ball there? Now, this is why we offer digital wallet options such as Apple Pay, Google Pay, Venmo, and more. and essential donations on your donation form. So with just a few taps, you're done, and your congregation can make it very quick and easy to donate. Just as I mentioned, the donation page is like the welcome mat, so this is very much like a nice welcoming place for them to stand. So they can look around, you know, and get a feeling for what you're all about. A donor box, we have customizable, ready-to-go giving pages, also known as a donation page, like you see on the screen. And it's a great option if you don't have your own website, or if you have your own website but cannot edit it on the fly or as fast as you would need. It's also an option if you don't want to deal with or pay for extra added website security certificates. We have churches that use giving pages like this to create a one-off landing page for special campaigns too. DonorBox can host thousands of campaigns. We won't charge you for that. And these pages are particularly effective when they use compelling text, images, video, and storytelling. On-site giving and digital giving options are also important to churches. Givers no longer have to remember to carry cash or a checkbook, which removes another barrier to giving. So, over 82% of people in America have declared to not using or carrying cash on a daily basis anymore. So that's something to keep in mind. Now let's look at some easy, secure, and quick ways that givers can give on the spot. The QR code. A lot of you are already applying a version of this. Some people, you know, put the QR codes in the pews to go ahead and scan them and give. But then again, you're relying on whether your flock has good signal, good coverage, or if your church is not, you know, a fire day's cage where there's no signals going in and out. And then it's frustration, right? It's like, I want to give. I scan the QR code, but the site won't load. Right. This gives them a simple way to scan the code with their camera and be redirected to a donation page. You can also put it like in big banners, which is very usual, and just ask them to scan it and go ahead and give, or in printed materials that they take away and distribute within their own small communities. So a donor box will give you the option for the on-site giving as well. And it's automatic. You do not need to go through a third party to generate a QR code and sign up for something else. There are people trying to charge you over $9 a month for QR codes, which is ridiculous. Now, whether you're raising funds, building building renovations, a mission trip, or something else entirely, you can create unique QR codes for each campaign and make giving even more accessible. On-site giving also relies on text to give. When you turn on a text to give campaign, each campaign will have a unique ID identified with it. Donors can simply text this code or a keyword of your choosing to the phone number, and they'll receive a link to donate, and it's super, super easy. Donors can also choose whether they want to save their information during the donation process. So this means that they can easily repeat the last donation by confirming the transaction via future text messages without having to fill out the form again. Now, to make the process even smoother, you can display the number or the short code or keyword in screens during worship service or during a virtual service as well. This way, you can encourage everyone to see when it's time to collect offerings. It's important to note, though, that DonorBox Text to Give is currently only available in the United States and Canada, but if you're based in either of these locations, such as the case, it's definitely worth considering as a user-friendly and efficient way to encourage your donors to give. Now, this is something that a lot of you might have seen in our stand during this couple of days, which is on-site giving, DonorBox Live Kiosk. It's a new feature and tool that we have developed. So you basically have a card reader that you sync with your phone or any other tablet, and you can basically have a giving kiosk, self-standing one, or have people operate it, but it's super easy. It's just three taps, and you're done. And you can use credit cards. You can use, again, your digital wallets like Apple Pay, Google Pay, Samsung Wallet, whatever it is that you use. And it's very simple, as it's very non-intrusive. And just to give you an example, and I said this to a lot of people that came by the booth, is that, for example, the Dallas Animal Services, the Friends of DAS, they used this, and they collected over $15,000 during their first week using it, even though they had little faith in the tool to begin with. But then they put the self-standing kiosk in a high foot traffic area, and boom, they started making money. It's that simple. Now, 4X faster giving. As we mentioned before, it's important to give offering options that align with the needs of the congregation. One of the most significant needs is faster and more convenient giving. By offering a quick and easy way for your congregation to give, churches can streamline donation processes, encourage more frequent giving, and ultimately increase support for their mission. Here's how you can do this. Quick donate. So this is a proprietary technology of ours. If any of your donors has ever used a donation form powered by DonorBox before, they probably already have an account with us. So when they come back and they're using it on your site, they don't have to fill out their information over again. Okay? For regular givers, this saves a lot of time by not having to re-enter all of the information into the donation form every time they want to make a contribution. We also baked in Ultra Swift Pay into our donor box forms. And basically, it is if you're using your device and you already have Apple Pay, Google Pay, whatever incorporated in your device, the form will recognize that and give you the option to pay for the donation that way. And this is very important and it's crucial because a lot of people will tend to be more generous by using credit cards that they have linked to their phone or which they have on hand because they can give larger gifts and even get points for that, rewards. So this means that there's also less chance of them dropping out due to a lengthy giving process. It's not like filling out a large strand of numbers and then, oh, I forgot the CVC. Oh, none of that. Now, stewardship, what brings us here? Finally, while faster giving is essential for churches, it's also equally important to remember the principles of good stewardship. And stewardship is more about just donations. It's about managing those donations in responsible and effective ways that support your missions and serves and honors your congregation. This is where our compliance and our pension for that comes to shine, because you can do personalized receipt and thank you notes that automatically get sent to the donors per campaign. So you don't have to go figure out, oh, did they give for the capital campaign? Oh, did they support an individual effort? You can just program this and they will be sent out automatically. And it's really, really powerful too, because as you can see, it's a rich text editor, which means that you can embed images, videos, whatever it is that you want to share with your donors. We understand the importance of prompt and personalized communication with supporters. So our all-in-one fundraising solution includes these automated receipt and thank you messages. And you will save a lot of time and resources while still providing a very personalized response to everyone. Now, moments, and this is a new this is an innovation that we have within DonorBox. As you can see, these moments are basically notifications that you and your team will receive whenever somebody has performed one of these actions, donated for the first time, or maybe they canceled donation, and you want to act upon those notifications. And this is part of a new product offering that we have, which is CRM, so that you can keep track not just of the financials of a certain donor, but exactly what you have done with them. How many times have you messaged them in the last year? Who did what? How many times have you reached out to them and they maybe not responded? So Moments is part of CRM, and it's going to be big for you just keep track of what they're doing. Great faith-based donation pages. These are some examples so that you can get inspired. This is done with DonorBox, no fancy coding, apart from just copying and pasting the code for the form, right? This is another great example, because a lot of you asked me over the booth if any other religious organizations or Catholic churches were using us. Yes. Here's another good example. And St. Michael's in New York, by the 9/11 memorial, they use us with Life Kiosk. They made a large investment in that. Now, what should you do now? Churches who invest time and intentionality into ministry of giving will be poised to grow. I would like to encourage you to stretch beyond your comfort zone and think outside the giving envelope. When you get home, please do your homework. I have some quick assignments for you as well before you leave. So I encourage you to do these two things. First, take a close look at the last 5 to 10 communication pieces that have come from your church. Where do they fall short, or where do they comply with the 5 A's that we talk about? What else can you do? How can you improve? After that, audit your giving processes. If you have an online giving option, see how many clicks it takes for you or anybody else to actually give to the church. Is it easy to give, or is it not? What's the experience for them after they give? Do they get a receipt? Do they see a thank you message? How do they know that the process is complete? Providing good experience builds trust between your givers and your church. And so some of my favorite quick tips is like, ask the youngest person in your congregation to go through the flow. They will be probably brutally honest, and you will probably flush, you know, after their comments. Then go ahead and ask the oldest person in the congregation to do the same thing. And then ask regular givers to do the same thing. This is UX UI in different terms. There's a lot that we can learn from all the generations that use our giving technologies. And I think that you might find out that they are very, very candid when they give feedback. So go ahead and ask. Think also about what are two things that you can do right when you get at home or even right now this evening to better communicate the good that you're doing with the in your churches to your congregation. What can you do to inspire and invite others to work along with you in God's kingdom work? So please scan to download this. It's a free guide for fundraising tips for faith-based organizations. It's labeled faith-based because we work not just with the church, the Catholic Church. We work with Christian organizations, with Islamic organizations, Jewish organizations, and all of them have found really good success in using donor box technologies to their advantage. If you have any questions, I invite you to just go ahead and book a meeting with me. I personally take on demos, and I will be super, super glad to tailor a solution for each and every one of you if you want to be a part of Donor Box. And now we open the mic for a quick round of questions. We have 15 minutes before the time runs out, and we're going to give away this the speakers as well. Thank you very, very much. My name is Tico with Donor Box, and I really appreciate the favor of your time and attention.
There's any questions they've asked us to use the mic so it can be picked up on the recording that can be made available. So is there any questions at all for Tico?
Suggestions? Complaints?
I have a comment. I'm actually a development officer in a Catholic foundation, but as a parishioner and a lifelong Catholic, my husband and I have belonged to many Catholic parishes, and we have consistently given to our offertory wherever we've been or in our early years, much less than we're able to give now. But I will tell you, for the first time ever in our giving history, a year ago, two times during the year, we got a handwritten note from our pastor saying, thank you for your faithful giving. And I will tell you that it blew both of us away. We were just so amazed that he took the time to tell us that he really appreciated that we consistently give to the church and what it meant to him. I think there's a lot to be said. And I know pastors are very busy and they don't have time to be writing notes to everybody that gives every week. We intentionally give like we pay our bills. We pay our parish once a month, just like we pay our electric bill or our phone bill or whatever. So we have decided what we're giving monthly, whether we go on vacation or not, we give that check once a month to the church. And, but, you know, I know you have annual givers or just pick, you know, five people a week and try to get different people. The difference it makes is huge. It
really
is.
Absolutely, yes. Yes, yes. Well, first of all, thank you for sharing. That was great. And now I want to invite for the first prize of the evening. Is anyone else doing what the pastor did there? Are you already applying those acknowledgement techniques or not? Raise your hand if you did it. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to give you a speaker. So the condition is you tell us what your acknowledgement technique is. Who wants to do it for a speaker? Going once, going twice. There you go.
Oh,
we have other chances.
We actually just recently set up a tiered thank you, personalized thank you system according to level of gift, mostly because our archbishop did not necessarily have the kind of time to focus on our mid-range donors. We instead passed those to our gift officers. So at a certain level, our archbishop sends a personal letter, a fairly lengthy one. We wrote it for him, and we give him the details about the donor as well and a little note so he knows what to include in terms of a personal in the way, if he's met them before, et cetera, or where their parish is. And then our gift officers take the rest of the gifts each week. So it's my job to provide that information for them. And that's how we do it. That's,
great.
It's not Tom actually that hard.
Speaker, please.
My name's Cinda. I'm from the Archdiocese of Seattle.
Now, specifically for Archdiocese cases, I know that a lot of archdioceses will have recommended software that they, you know, hey, there you go. Give it up for her. Yes. That they have, you know, like recommendations, not maybe not strict or maybe not compulsory of what software to use, but it's really worthy if you are leading or you're part of a diocese and you know that you have, I don't know, 10, 20, 59 parishes, go ahead and pull in your resources because we can build plans for all of those parishes and tailor the software to their needs, right? Because no parish is alike. They might belong to the same diocese, but their needs, their people are vastly different. This is something that Father Andres was talking about yesterday with the multicultural aspect of giving. How do the community perceive you, and how are you, you know, applying those principles into the giving itself? Okay? All right. Now, so I hope you were paying attention. Okay, yeah.
We got two more back.
Oh. Two more.
So I'm actually the database person at the church, so I pull out, I pull four reports every week for okay. our people. The first one is our first-time givers. Sometimes we don't have a full-on address for everybody because maybe we just got a check with no address. But maybe we just have a phone call. So somebody either calls those people or handwrites the first-time giver. Thank you. We do then also split our gifts like you do for the smaller gifts. But everything's handwritten.
Right.
Pastor writes the larger gifts. They're all handwritten, stamps, nothing, you know, no postage machine. And then the fourth one that I pull out is we do get a lot of, beyond Sunday giving, we get ministry gifts to various ministries within the parish. And then I pull that report, and that goes to each individual staff member that then handwrites or calls
awesome.
To thank for that,
no
matter what the size.
What are you using for your database needs today?
I use a database that probably nobody here uses at all called Rock RMS.
No, we do, and we have a native integration for that.
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go. But nobody here knows about it because I'm the only Catholic church on Rock. But, all right. I'm glad you know about Rock.
All
yeah.
right. No, no, no. We have native integrations with Rock. We have native integrations with like Blackbaud or Razor's Edge and stuff like that. So it's not that we want to be super zealous and, you know, exclusive with our organizations, which is a complaint that we usually hear when people are getting onboarded. They go like, oh, we're paying so-and-so this amount of money. And when we told them that we were going to leave them, they basically held our data for ransom. Yeah. And this is not what we do. Your data is yours. Your donor database is yours. And we just do whatever we can to help you make a more efficient use of that information day in and day out. So I'm going to give you another example. I know that the term has been beaten to death and abused over the past 12 to 18 months, AI. We have created a siloed version of GPT that reads your database and gives you data insights on the database without leaking your information to the internet and without getting information from the internet to prevent hallucinations. Okay? So instead of like going through sheets and reports and whatever, you can just type like natural language queries, like who were my greatest donors this year? The system will get it, will give you a report that you can export as, you know, a chart, or you can just have a CSV file, and you can later do mail merge with that. So there's a lot of functionality there. It also helps you with writing materials for your personal needs from that. And we're going to make a really nice dashboard with the most important metrics that we know from working with our top 150 orgs. So when you open up the donor books dashboard, you already know exactly what you need to know about those figures that are vital to keeping your mission alive. Now, so can anybody tell me the name of our in-person digital donation solution? I'll give him a speaker. Kiosk. Partial credit. It's live kiosk, but yeah.
Okay. There you go.
It is kind of toasty in here. Okay. Now, is anybody here already using DonorBox? That should have been the first question of the session. No? Who's willing to show me that they scan the code and want to have a meeting with me, and I'll give them a speaker? No?
I have a question.
Go, please.
So I work with the Pontifical Mission Societies.
Okay.
Among our things, we run the World Mission Sunday collection, which is the only canonically mandatory second collection within the 11 second collections in the Church in the United States. Do you guys have any solution or any situation, solution for the second collection? Because a lot of the softwares that do digital collections in parishes do not have the capability or don't impose the capability of the second collection. So, for instance, myself, I'm an Argentinian living in the United States since March of last year. I am not registered in my parish for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But I only do online giving. I don't have cash. I haven't seen a bill in years, to be honest. So, but I can never contribute to the second collection, including my own.
Right.
By the way. How do you guys manage that? Is there a way? Is it worth for me to say, okay, let's schedule a follow-up conversation?
Yes, there is a way.
How can I? Because I know I'm not the only one.
Absolutely.
The USSB, the Holy Land Second Collection.
Yeah.
All of those need a solution.
So, and not to toot our own horn, but the good thing about DonorBox is that we are still employee-owned. We do not answer to any VCs, to any boards, to any investors or potential purchasers of our technology. We have refused and, turned down offers for that. Being employee-owned means also that we are very flexible and very quick to adapt and adopt to the needs of our clients. So, believe it or not, in our sales calls, our CEO will jump in and just listen in sometimes on the sessions and figure out what it is that you guys need. So, for example, the past year, we have been working with a lot of Islamic organizations across not just the United States but the world, because we support multi-currency donations. We support donations pretty much worldwide, and also custom timeframes for donations so that people can subscribe or adhere to that periodicity that they desire to give. So, for example, when they came to us, their use case was, we are pretty much obligated to give every Friday at this time of day. Can you support maybe a million simultaneous donations from, all the people around the world that are going to give? Sure. And sure, you'll see that uptick every Friday right around 5 p.m. Poop, there's over $10 million been given simultaneously. And we need to support that. Right? So, yes, if you come to us with the right case, we'll build it for you as well. I can't promise it's going to be immediate, but there are always ways for us to, circumvent our own limitations within the product and come up with something that you can use and that will fulfill that need that you have.
Quick question, Tico. Thank you so much for exploring this donor box. I'm from San Diego, Father Paul. We have been using Venko. Online giving. So this donor box and Venko, do they work together or two different domain?
Well, what we try to do as far as that is integrate with as many solutions as possible. So if we don't have a native integration, we can explore how we can build it. But if not, we work with Zapier, and our API communicates with a lot of different other technologies. So we can explore that. The other thing is that, again, just like with her case, if you have a very specific need that needs to be fulfilled on the tech side, that's precisely what our developers do. For example, and just to name another thing that we do, we have advanced tech support as part of our premium packages, and that is not given by a customer service representative, even though they're great. That's given by the actual developers who create DonorBox on a daily basis. So a lot of people will come and say, hey, I'm working with this arcane piece of software. Do you know it? It's probably a case that they will. And if they don't, they will go ahead and study it and figure out how it can better integrate or give you another solution so that you can keep on doing that. This is one of the reasons also that we're deploying our CRM, because we found out that a lot of organizations, even they did have the nonprofit discounts with HubSpot or Salesforce or other pieces of software, they were either underutilizing or overpaying for solutions that were geared towards sales efforts, not fundraising efforts. And it's usually the case. A lot of people here might even be using like Square or something else for cashless donations on site, and it's super expensive because it's not geared towards nonprofit use. There's what we come with our solutions.
Tico?
Yes.
Okay, we come to the end.
Ah, come on.
If you'd like to give out one.
You give me a suggestion. How do we give it away?
Oh, gosh.
Uh-huh. You're the moderator. Come on.
Yeah, well, I'm not a quick thinker. I'd say anybody in the first four rows that's wearing all black.
Ah, come on. Okay, one. I'm sorry? To the moderator?
No, I'm good on speakers, I really am.
No, who needs a speaker? Maybe part of the youth ministry or something else? You do, Father? Come on, pick it up.
Excellent. Well, with that,
give it up for Father here.
Good job, Father.
Hey, glad to help.
Going back to Spain with some hardware.
You're going to Spain? Hey!
Just for the record, I talked to engineering or contact and asked them to send someone out about the heat in here. It's 78 degrees in here. So thank you for putting up with the heat.
Yes. Thank you very much.
And, Tico did a real nice job with his presentation. Whether you think so or not, please fill out the survey. Take a moment and do that. And with that, let's give it another round of applause for Tico.
Oh, for yourselves. Keep on fighting the good fight.